This is a download from Documentally. To find out more, go to documentally.com.
There is a quiet, dark revolution underway in Britain. It was happening yesterday, it's happening now, this minute, it will continue to happen tomorrow. Without anyone really noticing it, we're becoming a police state. We're not quite there yet, it's a long way down to the real depths of secret police, social control, monitored movements. But we're blindly sleepwalking that path. George Orwell's 1984 portrays a country plunged into totalitarianism. The state is locked in an endless war that, although somehow affecting no one directly, functions as a perfect mechanism for inducing fear and justifying the destruction of basic liberties. Crucially, there is mass surveillance. This is the key, an essential element for a true police state is that everyone should be monitored at all times, or they must at least believe that this is happening. In 1984, everyone is watched, intrusively. Privacy has all but evaporated, the word itself ceasing to have meaning. Everywhere, fear. Without getting hysterical, without too much hyperbole, there are clear parallels to modern-day Britain. Since September 11, we've been at war with an enemy terror that by many of our actions, we're imperiling. The stage is now set for a generations-long conflict that can never be, in any real sense, won. In order to fight this war, basic liberties are eroded. Long imprisonment without trial, without charge, becomes legal. Evidence gained from torture is suddenly admissible in a court of law. Foreign intelligence services carry out extraordinary renditions through British airspace and soil with the connivance of the government, and there is mass surveillance. CCTV camera and tracking technologies have proliferated. Not so many years ago, such cameras, let's call them spy cameras, that is after all what they're doing, were limited to spaces like garage forecourts. They were ineffective things, recoding largely useless, indistinct time-lapse photos onto VHS tapes, endless hours of drivers filling up their cars and walking in to pay. Perhaps the occasional robbery caught on film to show on Crime Watch because police couldn't catch a suspect. Cut to the present day, cameras are almost literally everywhere. They are in shops, they are in bars and clubs, they are high on gantries over the roads, at traffic lights, they're watching the high street, they're watching and recording you as you go about the most banal tasks. The technology is still in relative infancy, but has already developed far beyond those scratchy VHS tapes. Facial recognition software and high-resolution optics means your movements can be traced, your facial expressions logged, your speed and trajectory is measured, your number plate inscribed onto a computer database. You went shopping this afternoon, parked in the main street car park, bought some underwear on a credit card and then went home. Yes, ma'am, we know all that. It's all there, on our hard drive. You met a woman who is not your wife, for the fifth time in 2 weeks. She's always wearing a long black skirt, you a grey suit. We know that, sir. It was picked up by our cameras and noted by the computer engineer when he ran some tests on the facial recognition software. This monitoring started out as a deterrent against crime, and as such, how could any of us object? Don't you want to be safe? Local councils across the country approved more and more projects that promised to smash job culture. They secured some central government funds, raised cash from local businesses. Sinister words like surveillance, like police state, were never mentioned. Potential human rights implications pushed aside. The cameras would make us safer by allowing the police to catch criminals to safeguard the elderly. Don't you want the elderly to be safe? And then we're at war with terror and we're more afraid than ever. It's not that a teenager is going to snatch your purse outside the bank. That's a quaint fear from happier times. Now it's suicide bombers on the bus. More cameras, better monitoring will help save us. How can we object? The technology was put in place, the network established, and it does have benefits. It can perhaps add to our security. It can help police build a case against homicidal fanatics. Perhaps it will even help reduce a crime rate that has thus far shown no signs of actually being reduced. Yet there is a price to pay. We have unwittingly put in place the building blocks of a police state. The ability to know where citizens are, and with some high degree of accuracy what they are doing. When privacy ceases to exist, so in a real sense does freedom. To stop the criminals, we are now all monitored as if we are all potential criminals. The bag snatcher is in the database of images as he runs from the victim, but so are you as you carry your weekly shop to your car. In the late 18th century, a British philosopher designed the perfect prison. The man was Jeremy Bentham. The prison, known as a panopticon. It was a study in architecture, a building to be constructed in such a way that an observer could watch prisoners without them knowing if they were at any moment actually being watched. Perhaps the observer is writing down their every action, or perhaps the observer is asleep. The prisoner would never know, and so the prisoner would have to assume they were being watched at all times. Bentham envisaged it was a way of creating an omniscient observer, a god in command of all prisoners, a permanent presence, Big Brother. In his words, the panopticon would be a new mode of obtaining power of mind over mind, in a quantity hitherto without example. The emaciated prisoner would internalise this gaze and learn to behave in the way he was expected to behave by the observing power. He would become his own prison guard, his own re-educator, his own Big Brother. Bentham was a liberal, a reformer. He designed the prison for people's own good. It was not driven by impure motives, but a desire to save the dregs of society. But his project was to be confined in space. It was a physical building, outside of which the gaze of the observer failed. It had clear limits. In modern CCTV Britain, a panopticon is being created, and it has fewer boundaries. It has been established in our public spaces. In certain towns, in certain cities, it is more complete than you would perhaps imagine. The observer could be watching you almost everywhere. We are becoming a perfect prison. With new laws being passed in the United States, allowing certain corporations entitlement to spy satellite access. Whatever next? It is just about possible to argue that none of this matters if we trust absolutely that the authorities controlling it all never ever abuse their incredible powers. If the government, security apparatus and judiciary stick absolutely to the rule of law. If they uphold the rights of the individual with just zeal. If they ensure there are no illiberal erosions to these basic sacred rights. And that's the problem. Authorities rarely, if ever, behave that way for long. They certainly do not behave that way automatically, but by continued debate, argument, contest. Especially in times of war, the instinct of authority is to retreat, to shut down and to restrict. This is already happening. Traditional laws are suspended on the grounds of a vague, nefarious threat to the nation. And along with them are suspended our collective moral decency. Our preciously democratically elected government starts to behave more and more like a Stalinist dictatorship. They all have national emergencies too, that's why the reformers disappear, that's why the military tribunals meet in private to hand out sentences that cannot be appealed. We take another step down that ladder, another step into the darkness. With the CCTV and surveillance technology now already out on the streets, the mechanism is there for the state to take further control of our lives. It may start with monitoring terrorist suspects, but where does it end? Can we trust our leaders, our parliaments, those that have failed us so dramatically over simple, vital matters of war and peace? Can we trust them to ensure that this all goes so far but no further? Will we so easily abdicate our best interest to them? I like to think we're not a police state yet. The databases tracking your movements are not linked together. They are not complete. The facial recognition software is experimental, not universal. The national ID card scheme that will concrete in another layer of monitoring has yet to be rolled out. We are, however, treading the path, and we are further down it today than we were yesterday. Will we keep on walking?
Documentally. To find out more, go to documentally.com.